Amen. Talking about that song, change. Speaking the name of Jesus for change over our circumstances, change over healing, change over the challenges of life. And that's the subject matter of your message this morning, is about change. Well, what is change? Think about what change is in your life. Change is to make or become different. To make something different or to become different. And I'd say that we all have need of some changes in our life. The minute you get content in your walk with Jesus is the minute you start going backwards. The minute you become satisfied is the minute you start going backwards in your faith. So I want to challenge you to accept change as a good thing in your life. Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion says this: everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Everything stays at a stage of rest unless it's compelled to change by forces from the outside. So, while we all recognize the need for change in our lives, we also recognize that the changes we need can sometimes be downright difficult, hard to achieve. So what are we going to do? I read about this fellow, Grady Nutt, who described what change looks like. He said that openness to change is basically a willingness to grow. Openness to change is basically a distaste for ruts. Ever been in a rut? Ever been in a rut in your faith? An openness for change will give you a horrible taste in your mouth for that rut. An openness to change is eagerly standing on your tiptoes for a better view of what tomorrow holds. You want to look past the situation today, past the circumstances of right now, and get a better view of what tomorrow holds. Now, I know if you're anything like me, some handle change a lot better than others. But the reality is this, and listen very carefully. To move forward, things got to change. To move forward, things got to change. And the reality is also this. Some people change when they see the light. Other people never change until they feel the heat. Been there? In John chapter 5, we actually find a biblical narrative about change. As we look at this man and his condition, we can learn much about change. And we can learn much about ourselves. So go with me to John chapter 5. And let's just read the first five verses to get a little bit of background about change, okay? Verse 1, John records this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, that is the gate where the lambs for sacrifice came in. There is there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool. A pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches situated around it. In these porches lay a great multitude of sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, all waiting for a moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in the water first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. Now I want to pause there for a second and help us to understand some background that Jesus had returned to Jerusalem to celebrate a Jewish holy day. And once inside the gates of Jerusalem, he comes to the pool of Bethesda. And lying around the pool are people, countless people that are sick and paralyzed, helpless and hopeless. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And those people are there around the pool because it was said that an angel would come on occasion and stir up the water in the pool. And the first one in the pool, after the water was stirred, got healed. When I first read it, I'm like you. Sounds a little bit far-fetched. But apparently, people have been healed. Because you got all these people hanging out by the pool of Bethesda, waiting for their opportunity to be healed. So apparently, some had been healed. As far-fetched as it may sound. Otherwise, people wouldn't have kept coming. And they certainly wouldn't have kept waiting. But you know, these people, paralyzed, helpless, and hopeless, really waiting was their only hope. And so Jesus walks into this sea of desperate people. And just so you know, we're surrounded by them every day. Friends, we were surrounded by them at camp. Desperate people dealing with stuff that we didn't have any idea. You never know what's going on behind closed doors. He walks into the sea of desperate people, but here's what's interesting. He is not randomly saying, you're healed, 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 healed. No, he's walking with purpose. Headed somewhere. And as he moves among the blind, as he moves among the lame, he's drawn to one guy in particular, one that had been struggling for 38 years. And the Bible doesn't say what the nature of his affliction was. But we do know that it rendered him completely unable to walk. All he could do was just lay there. But why among so many who were lame and helpless and hopeless, why among so many did Jesus go to heal this man? We don't really know. And it's okay to say, I don't know. But what we do know is this. That man was not seeking Jesus' help. He was hanging out at the pool. He wasn't seeking Jesus' help. In fact, he didn't even know who Jesus was. And so, Jesus comes up to him and asks him a ridiculous question. He says, do you want to be made well? You might think, well, duh, I've been here for 38 years. It seems kind of crazy that you would ask someone who has been paralyzed for 38 years if he wants to get well. But you need to know this. Jesus never asks a question without good reason. So today, we're going to find out why he asked that question. Today, I want to ask you three hard questions about changes in your life. Beginning with, do I really want to be changed? See, that's the question we have to ask. Do I really want to be changed? Going back to John 5 and verse 6, when Jesus saw this man lying there and knew, that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? It's strange to ask a man that sick. It's strange to ask a man that paralyzed, an invalid for 40 years, if he really wants to be made well. But it was very important for that man to answer that question, at least to himself. Do I really want to be changed? Do I really want my circumstances, my condition, do I really, truthfully, want things to change? Because you see, Jesus was asking this because it's very entirely possible that this man did not want to be changed. It's possible that he was perfectly content in that condition because for the past 38 years, this man has been a beggar, relying exclusively on the pity of others. And if he's healed, he's going to lose all that. In the Middle East, in Bible times, and even in some places today, a person who is healed can lose a really good living. In fact, I read that in some third world places, parents are actually guilty of crippling their children so that they can earn a living by begging and relying on the pity of others. So, if this man gets healed, he's going to be venturing out into the world of the unknown. If he's healed, now he's going to be responsible for himself. If he's healed, he'll now have to enter into a whole new world that he hasn't experienced for nearly 40 years. It would have been the equivalent today of someone or asking someone who has lived on welfare for 38 years if they're ready to be made well and get a good job. Do you know that some panhandlers make $16 an hour? It very well may be that he didn't want to be healed. To be healed meant to enter into a new life, a new way of living. Yeah, wonderful possibilities, but also a certain amount of risk. Sometimes it's just easier to stay where you're at, relying on the pity of others. After 38 years, he'd probably accepted his condition. He was content to scratch out a pathetic existence begging from others. So being paralyzed was actually a help because people felt sorry for him and rushed to help him out. But if he's healed, he's got to go to work now. If he's healed, now he's got to take on full responsibilities for his own life. If he's healed, things are going to change. And just maybe he's a little bit concerned about that. The fact is this, some people will go to extraordinary lengths to avoid unwelcome changes in their life. They just assume stay where they are rather than be changed. I read about one man back in the 1960s who was scheduled to be drafted into the Vietnam War. Scared to death, he was determined he was not going to be drafted. And so he went and he had every tooth in his head pulled out so that he could be declared militarily unfit. Then he goes to the draft board and he takes his exam. And they find him unfit, all right, but he was unfit because he had flat feet and got every tooth in his head pulled for no reason. This man by the pool reminds us of some people in our day. Their lives are sick and they need change. It reminds us of people who are paralyzed in their heart and in their mind. Boy, do they need some change. It reminds us of those whose lives are so dysfunctional that they've not even considered what God might have for them in a wonderful way. They become satisfied, secure with just existing. And it's like they're sick and they don't even know it. And if they do know it, then they somehow see being sick as being normal. And so they'd never, ever change. We've also seen it in people who've come to church. They come and they're respectful. They may even seem excited to worship with others. They're excited about what they're learning. But when it comes to listening to the Word of God and the changes that need to be made in their life, I ain't going there. I don't really want to be changed that much. And so they leave unchanged. And even after we're saved, we continue the need to be changed. We should be constantly changing for the better. Constantly, because we're confronted by issues that still attack us even though we're Christians. And we have needs to change things like that root of bitterness in our life. It's got to change. That unforgiveness that you're holding in your heart, it's got to change. Those bad attitudes, it's got to change. That sinful behavior, y'all, it's not keeping with the life of a Christian. It's got to change. And if you walk out of here unchanged, nothing's really happened in your life. And the reason is because you don't really want to change. I don't really want to change. So Jesus asked this question to this paralyzed man. And as ridiculous as it seems, it's very relevant for him. And it's also very relevant for us. Because we need to get real with ourselves sometime and say, look, man in the mirror, do you really want to change? Daughter of God in the mirror, do you really want to change in keeping with the life of a Christian child? Do you really want to change? That's the question we've got to start with. But we must also ask another question. Am I willing to stop making excuses? Check out verse 7. The sick man answered Jesus, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I'm coming, another steps down before me." Notice that when asked that question, do you want to be made well? This man did not answer Jesus' question. He doesn't say, "Yes, sir, I want to be made well. I've been like this for 38 years. I'm tired of being this way. I'm ready to be changed." No, he dismisses Jesus' question and he complains about the state of his life. And he tells how unfortunate he is. He tells Jesus all about his troubles. Then when he tries to get in the pool, somebody slips in there before him. Yes, friends, this guy's got plenty to complain about. But he whines about his life instead of answering Jesus' question. Does he really want to be made well? In today's language, we'd say that this man sees himself as a victim. You ever run into those before? Victims are ones that always feel like they've been dealt a lousy hand in life. And all they can do is complain that they're victims. Victims endlessly repeat how they have been mistreated over and over again. Victims live by this childish notion that life is somehow fair. But we know it's not, don't we? The cry of the perpetual victim is, it's not my fault. And listen, friend, it may not be. It may not be your fault. It may not have no fault at all in it. But if you're unwilling to accept responsibility for your part in life, then you'll blame your parents. If you're unwilling to accept responsibility, you'll blame your spouse. If you're not going to accept responsibility, you're going to blame your friends, your society. You'll blame God. Anybody but the man in the mirror. Anybody but the woman you see in the mirror. Dr. William Glazer once did a seminar called Reality Therapy. And as I was reading about reality therapy, I thought of Jennifer Blankenship. Because if you want to know reality, ask Jennifer Blankenship. And she's got a disciple named Lydia LeMay. And if you want to know the reality of it, just ask them and they'll tell you. Amen. But he said in one of his seminars that healthy people don't make excuses. Healthy people don't make excuses. There may be legit reasons why you do something or don't, but healthy people don't make excuses. He used as an example what some people use when they make excuses for being chronically late for appointments. You know anybody like that? I know what y'all are thinking. I didn't say it, Blake Hill. When they're chronically late for appointments, they'll say, "Sorry, y'all, traffic was heavy. Sorry, couldn't get the kids ready this morning. Sorry, I was on a phone call. I had to answer all those snaps. I had to keep my streak going." I just learned what a streak is in Snapchat. I am so with it now, man. Now if I can just find the time to answer them all. I mean, anyway, traffic was heavy. Last second Snapchat. A crisis came up. Sorry, I was late. But Dr. Glazer says that's really just kind of an excuse to cover up the real issue. He says, if you're chronically late, the real issue is because you are unable to run your life. And he suggests that instead of making some lame excuse the next time you're late, just say, "I'm sorry. I guess I'm just incompetent to run my own life. I didn't say it. He did." See, it's only when we stop making excuses that we discover that we have the power to be on time. That's right. We have the power to be on time. And there are several things that we all need to know. All need to know about excuses. One, we make more excuses than we would like to admit. Every one of us. Second, it is possible to break the pattern of making excuses. And third, change is not possible until we admit there's a problem. Change is not possible until you admit something needs to be changed. So, do I really want to be changed is the question that needs to be asked. And then after that, am I willing to stop making excuses? And finally, if you've answered both of those questions successfully, the third question is, am I ready to act? Take a look at verse 8. Jesus said to him, after asking, do you really want to be changed? And are you ready to stop making excuses? He said in verse 8, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. You see, Jesus didn't go to him and start talking about the pool. Jesus didn't go to him and talk about all those other people that made it to the pool before he did. He didn't talk about the stirring of the water that could heal people. He simply told that man, get up. Get up. Take up your bed and walk. Are you ready to act on things in your life that need to be changed? The man was healed, but he wasn't healed by the water. He was healed, but he wasn't healed by a doctor. Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, pick up your feet, and walk. And the Bible says, immediately he acted. Now, just like with us at this point, the man had a choice. He could listen to the living word of God and ignore it, ignore him. Or he could listen to the living word of God, Jesus, and obey him. One would keep him in the same condition without change. Another would change his life. Don't we all have that choice? With every challenge that comes upon you, we all have that choice to decide if we really want to be made well, if we're ready to stop making excuses, but probably most importantly, am I ready to act upon what Jesus says? Am I ready? In his words, take up your bed. The Lord is saying something very important to those who really want to change. God's saying, if you want to move forward in your life, if you want to move forward in your faith, you can. But this is where a lot of people fail. See, sometimes you got to burn the bridges behind you. Sometimes you've got to cut off any possibility of going backwards, so that you can continue moving forward. Are you ready to act? In verse 14, Jesus bumps into this guy again in the temple. And he said to him, see here, you've been made well. Now sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Literally, he's saying, don't keep on sinning. Because if you think 38 years is a long time, try the eternal consequences of sin. Don't take your healing for granted. Follow me. He's saying, turn from your sinful life. Be changed once and for all. And turn your back. Burn the bridge on sinful living. So friend, are you ready to be changed? You can be if you truly want to be. You just got to go to the one who can change you. And it ain't your spouse. It's not your mama. It's not your buddy. The only one that can change you is the Lord your God. Are you ready to be changed? You see, when God works a change in you, listen. When God works a change in you, then he can work changes through you for his glory and the benefit of others. There's an old quote that to change the world, you got to begin with yourself. You want to change the world? Change yourself. Do you want to be part of the solution or do you want to be part of the problem? First, you got to decide, do I really want to be changed? Then you must decide, okay, I want to be changed, and I'm going to stop making excuses about not changing. Furthermore, I'm deciding that I am ready to act upon what my Lord says needs to be changed in my life. Some people say, what a perfect world it would be if everybody would just do what I want them to do. Amen? I think it's kind of what we all think deep down. But you might say, well, Brother Bill, man, I've been doing this for 38 years. I've been stuck in this rut for 38 years. My behavior hadn't changed in 38 years. I don't even know where to start. Where do I start? Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. If you want change, that's where I recommend you start. Amen. Start with your relationship with Jesus, because incredible changes can occur through that relationship with your Savior. See, here's the deal, y'all. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't make the changes in our life all by ourselves. It's just, we probably could, but we don't. So we need help. And Jesus says, I've sent you the helper to help you to make the changes in your life that'll help you to look more like your Lord. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, He then promises you to send you help. Help in the form of the Holy Spirit of God, who will take up residence in you and help you to change. Y'all, I look at myself and I say, there's so many things I want to change. My biggest problem is, if I'm honest, there's those areas that I really don't want to change. I find some comfort in them. Even if I've been in those activities for a long time. And then if I decide, okay, I do want to change. Then I start making excuses about how I can't. Well, we're all sinful people. We're all going to sin. We're all going to fail. We're all going to fall. And while that may have a glimmer of truth about it, we also have the Holy Spirit of God that can help us to avoid falling, help us avoid failing, help us to avoid sinning. But it's easier to make excuses, isn't it? Isn't it? So I want to encourage you to decide today that you really want to change for God's glory. I want you to decide today that you're ready to stop making excuses, that you're ready to act. But know this, without Jesus, you will fail. You need a helper. We all need a helper. And if you'll come to Him today, I'm going to give you a promise. You'll have all the help you need to make all the changes you want to make in your life and all the changes that the Lord wants you to make in your life. So on the heels of church camp, when we saw life after life after life changed for the glory of God, what a blessing it is that we can come home and still see that God will help us to change. So you listen to the Lord your God. You listen to Him as He speaks to you about those areas of your life that need to change. And if you feel so inclined, you come to this altar. We had altars full of kids and adults praying for 3 services every day for 4 straight days. Amen. So we wonder why Bethel doesn't change. Could it be because the altars are often empty? Lord Jesus, I praise You and thank You that You've sent the Holy Spirit to help us to identify changes. Lord, help us to really want to change, to be more like You, to be sanctified and grow in our faith and be more effective in the kingdom of God. Lord, help us as children of God to make no excuses. I mean, when we have the Holy Spirit of God living in us, is there any excuse for changes that You're leading us to make? But Lord, once you've spoke to our mind and convicted our soul, then it's time for the rubber to hit the road. And we must be ready to act. Father, I thank you for the changes that occurred for the last 4 or 5 days. And I thank you for the changes that occurred in me again. Yes. Father, I pray if there's any others that truly want to experience life change, if there's any here that want to experience eternal life change, because everyone here is going to experience eternal life. It's just a matter of location, location, location.
Yes, that's right.
Lord, help us to make those changes today. Lord, if there's one here that wants their eternal location to change, their eternal address to change from hell to heaven, help them to come to Jesus and receive the change that only he can make.
That's right.
Lord, when we place our faith in him, he'll make the changes. He'll help us. He'll convict us. He'll guide us. He'll lead us. But we got to really want to change. And that's where it all starts. So if there's one here today that says, I've had enough of not having any hope for eternal life. I've had enough of having no assurance of heaven and eternal life with God. I've had enough of not knowing whether I'm going to see my saved loved one again. Lord, let them come and say, I want to really be changed. And I know Jesus is the only one that can do it. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for what you might do, how you might change us all for your glory. In the high and holy name of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, we pray. His name's Jesus. And all God's people said.